it, say, I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
So we're going to be talking about we are redeemed by the blood of Christ, and we're going to partake of communion. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. New Living Translation says, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with his blood, with the blood of his son, and forgave us our sins. Amen. Colossians 1:14 tells us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So what is redemption? What was our Lord Jesus Christ doing when he died for us on the cross, shed his precious blood, and carried it into the heavenly holies of holies? What price did Jesus pay for our sins and purchase our salvation? In 1 Peter 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from the aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now I'm going to want you to refer to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 7 through 10 again for our hearing. And we'll see some things that we are redeemed through the Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So in whom we have redemption, it picks up saying, I'm reading out of King James, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. Now, it's so awesome in this first chapter of Ephesians, because it's broken down almost categorically based on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because in verse 3 through 1, we see that we're spiritually blessed and chosen by the Father. In 7 through 12, we see that we are redeemed by the Son. And, of course, verse 13 through 14, we see that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Everybody say that with me. I'm blessed by the Father. I'm redeemed by the Son. And I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, redemption, the definition from Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, is a repurchase of a captured goods or prisoners, an act of procuring the deliverance of persons or things from the possession of power and captors by the payment of an equivalent, ransom or release, as redemption of prisoners of war, for example. Deliverance from bondage, distress, and from liability to any evil or forfeiture, either by money, labor, or other means. It is the repurchase of lands, alienated notes, bills, and other evidence of debt by paying their value in specific to their holders. In theology, the purchase of God's favor by the death of and sufferings of Christ, the ransom of deliverance of sinners from the bondage of sin, and the penalties of God's violated law by the atonement or reconciliation of Christ. In whom we have redemption through his blood. See, redemption through his blood, this is the price God paid to manifest his grace and to adopt us as sons and daughters of God into the riches of his, by the riches of his grace. Redemption is an accomplished fact in Christ. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, in John 8:32. And this truth will not help you if you don't know it. The closer to the truth you are, the more freer you are. And what you don't know specifically will sometimes hurt you. So you must see what God has done for you. You got to see it. Jesus is called the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And God wants you to be free. And he's giving you the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth and show you the things of Christ. Now, what have we been redeemed from? First, sin. Everybody say, I've been redeemed from sin. We read the scripture. I'll read it again. Ephesians 1:7, in whom you have redemption through his blood. Redemption through his blood. Romans 6:14 tells us, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. In other words, one translation says it this way, sin shall not lord it over you. We said before, sin, sickness, and Satan are synonymous. So that means if sin can't lord it over you, sickness can't lord it over you, and Satan can't lord it over you. Everybody say, I've been redeemed. Now that's the second one, sickness. Sickness. Galatians 3:13, our offering scripture we read earlier, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So everybody say, I am redeemed, from the curse of the law. Now, the curse of the law was basically three major categories, spiritual death, that means separation from God, sickness and disease. That's a form of physical death. That means your body is infirmed, dysfunctional in certain areas. There's the absence of health. And then, of course, poverty and lack. So everybody say, I've been redeemed from sickness, from spiritual death, from poverty and lack. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Now, there are three simple yet powerful statements we find in this one verse. Look at this. It's on the screen there. The first is the fact that you are redeemed. Amen. Now, you have to say that. You have to believe it. You have to receive it. And you have to say it to appropriate your redemptive rights. Amen? You have to say, I am redeemed. Second, the second is what you've been redeemed from, the curse of the law. We said it before. We said it during the offering. The curse is a blessing stopper or a blessing blocker. You are not cursed, but you release yourself. You enforce or reinforce Christ's victory in your redemption by receiving this and confessing this, acknowledging it all the time. And so you continue to perpetuate your freedom from sickness and disease. When disease or sickness tries to encroach your body, you can just stand up and say, I am redeemed. Sickness doesn't belong to me. Right. Healing belongs to me. Amen. Amen? We've gotten so almost lackadaisical and complacent in the church, we think healing is normal. I mean, sickness is normal. We walk around hobbling with stuff. We walk around when the doctors say a diagnosis or give us a disease determination in a doctor's office, and we say, oh, well, we just got to deal with this. You ought to, right in the midst of that diagnosis, say, I'm redeemed. Amen. I'm redeemed from whatever this doctor said. You say, whose report will you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. The report of the Lord says, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Third, that you've been redeemed by, this third is what you were redeemed by. Christ was made a curse for you. So he turned your curse into a blessing. Upon the tree, the cross, he died for you and me. Our Lord has turned our curse into a blessing. Everybody say, I'm not under the curse. I'm not under the curse. So you don't have to tolerate it. You don't have to deal with it. Christ took your curse so you could go free. Amen. Third, you've been redeemed from Satan. Everybody say Satan. Psalms 102 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who hath redeemed who hath redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. So everybody say, I am redeemed. From the hand of the enemy. So that means the hand means his control, his domination, his dominion. That means you're out of Satan's hands. He can't control you anymore.
Amen.
He can't put his grips, his greasy little grips on you anymore.
Amen.
You've been set free from satanic control and domination and dominion of darkness. Colossians 1:13 says it this way, who hath delivered us from the power, that just means control, domination, and dominion of darkness. Delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us unto the kingdom of the Son of his love.
Amen.
Now, this fourth one's a big one, because specifically this is what the Lord said we need to deal with today in this area in light of our redemption. Fourth is sorrow. Everybody say sorrow. Sorrow is something that we are being redeemed from. Now, how many of you have met unhappy Christians? That's an understatement, right? It's almost like a norm. That's not the new norm, folks. That's not the new norm to be walking around sullen, sulky, sad, mad, bad, grieving, depressed, oppressed, frustrated.
Amen.
Thank you for the couple of amens. Look at Isaiah 51:11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. Who are you? Everybody say, I am redeemed.
Redeemed.
The redeemed, you're the redeemed of the Lord, shall return. And come with what?
Singing.
You know, you can always tell you've been struggling with something internally or emotionally or physiologically because you're struggling to praise God.
Amen.
Because he said, when the redeemed of the Lord return, they come with what? Singing.
Whew,
the Father likes singing. The Bible even says in Psalms 100, we enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Whew, glory to God. Hallelujah. We often said it this way, and I didn't make up the statement. I got it from Reverend Keith Moore, Pastor Keith Moore, him and Phyllis, pastor of wonderful churches in Branson and Sarasota, Florida, Branson, Missouri. And he said, faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Doubt complains, worries, and is sad. You can tell when grief and sorrow get to intoxicating you and getting you all infused when you stop praising and thanking God and worshiping God.
Mm-hmm.
We all are familiar with Psalms 34:1. I will bless the Lord, how much? How many times? All times. And his what? His praise shall what? Continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Now, David said that in the face of fear. When he's in the cave running from his enemies. See, when you're facing fear, now fear has different forms, different offsprings. One of them's called worry. One of them's called doubt. All doubt is fear-based. Because you want to see everything worked out before you change your position on whether I'm going to believe God's going to take me through this or not. I got to see it all figured out. So I doubt, so I don't step out
Amen.
In faith.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Worries fear-based, doubts fear-based, all this carrying the care instead of casting the care. Remember, doubt complains, worries, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad.
Amen.
I will bless the Lord at what? All times, and his praise shall what? Be continually in my mouth. So, Hebrews 13:15 says it this way. He said, let us therefore offer unto God the sacrifice of praise continually. Whew, glory to God. So what are you doing during your showering or bathing time? Because sometimes it's a sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
What are you doing when you're cooking dinner or eating your meal? It's time to praise God and thank God. Amen? And then, or what are you doing during the time? Now, a lot of times we get distracted and disrupted by the thing, that device that we have in our hands. A lot of times the phone, our email, the computer, social media. Now, these things are not supposed to be bad tools. They're supposed to be good tools.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Nothing wrong with Facebook, but if your face is always in that book, when, how much time do you spend in his book? Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm preaching real good right now.
Amen.
The Lord specifically said this to me. He said, there are too many sad, sorrowing, grieving Christians. Because look at the scripture again. Put it back up there. Well, you, Isaiah 51:11. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing. See, some people listen to the music, but they never become the music. And some people are even in praise and worship looking at the music and listening to the music, but they never become the music. God likes your voice. Your voice is your address in the realm of the spirit. God says, open up your mouth wide and I will fill it. In Psalms 126, he said, when we returned from the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. God will fill your mouth with singing. Sometimes the sing is a sacrifice. Because faith rejoices. That's not a feeling statement. That's a faith act. Faith rejoices. Faith rejoices in the face of adversity. When all the negativity and the bad moods and bad emotions are coming upon you, faith is rejoicing. It's giving thanks and it's glad. Woo, glory to God. And he said, singing unto Zion, and everlasting what? Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. And they shall obtain gladness, what? And joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. How many know that's the part for the believer? Everybody say, I'm redeemed from sorrow. Now, Isaiah 53, verse 4 says it this way. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's not just a sickness promise against sickness for healing, but for your emotions. Because we run to the last part of where it says, by his stripes ye are healed. And we forget that the griefs and sorrows are there in the same verse. That means I ain't got to walk around mad, bad, and sad.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Do you know that as a believer, you've been redeemed from the curse of grief and sorrow by the blood of Jesus Christ? You don't have to put up with that anymore. You don't have to put up with sin, sickness, or Satan, just like you don't have to put up with sin, sickness, or Satan. The enemy of your soul wants to bring an attack on your emotions. And if he can get you down, he knows your faith, you will lay down. If he can get you down and get you intoxicated, almost like a drunk on alcohol, you get intoxicated with grieving and sorrowing. Particularly sometimes in our environments and in our cultures, people get grieving when they see their loved one getting ready to transition to the next life, and they feel sad and they start grieving and taking on this ungodly grief because somebody went to heaven. And they get stuck. They get stuck with loss. Kenneth Copeland said it this way. He said God had to deal with him 8 months. He had to prepare to resist sorrow when the Lord told him, your mother's going home to be with me, coming home to be with me. Now, his mother was a great prayer warrior. And she had wore herself out praying all day, mainly for him. But she wore herself out praying. She didn't take care of her body good enough. And her heart, she had severe angina of the heart. And she had worn her heart out. Now, Brother Copeland delayed her going home by 6 months by just having her stand in faith and kind of reversing the slowing down the death process a little bit. But she was going. Because the Lord says she's already worn out her body. She's got a 90-something-year-old heart in a 70-something-year-old body. Because she's been up all night, all day, praying and not sleeping and resting. And so he got feeling sorry that his mother was getting ready to leave him. And he said that thing would come upon him like a blanket, like a cloud. And he said he had to resist it. He had to resist it. What does 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us? We sorrow not as the world. But some of us sorrow over losing a job, over changing a boss, over changing a building. We ought to be having a shout of the King in this building. We'll say, who's over there? Who's shouting that loud? Who's dancing that loud? Who's happy that much? Who's joyful that much over there at that church?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You get a doctor's diagnosis. Well, the doctor didn't gave me this. He didn't told me I had this. And you walking around with a frown. What? Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. This is another opportunity for God's word to come true on my behalf. This is another opportunity for God to get the glory out of my life. This is another opportunity for God to see God's words true, come true on my behalf. You rejoice. You give thanks. You get fired. You have to lose your job. You have to leave your job. You don't stay around in the mully grubs and let grief and sorrow put its two fangs inside your heart of your emotions. Now, some of you haven't had laughed in the Holy Ghost in a while. And that grief is wrapping you up like a nice little cozy blanket. The Bible says in Psalms 127, he said it's vain, except the Lord build the house, the laborman bring the bill, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. But it says it is vain to stay up late, to sit up. You're up to 1, 2, 3 in the morning worrying. He said eating the bread of what? So here's the devil, he's feeding you. Here's another piece of sour bread. Here's another piece of sour bread. And you, you're grieving over that last scuffle that you had with your family member. And it's still smoldering. It sure is quiet in this full gospel church. Everybody said, we have been redeemed from grief and sorrow. And so we have to resist it, just like you have to resist the temptation of sin and the sickness, disease that tries to invade your body, or Satan who tries to enter your life and family situation and with his deceitful and destructive work. You are redeemed. You should not partake of anything but joy. Amen. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That is a fruit of your reborn, new created human spirit. It is the fruit of the spirit in your life. And next to love, you should experience joy all the time. I'm full of joy. Amen. And you have to make a choice to rejoice in the midst of contradictory circumstances. In the midst, you have to be intentional and on purpose. Don't leave the house in the mully grubs. Don't leave the house with misery on your mind. Don't drive down 410 or I-10 or wherever with your soul intoxicating and you getting drunk in grief and sorrow. You got to resist it. You got to resist it because you've been redeemed from it. See, some of your family members are waiting for you to get happy about Jesus, amen, about serving Jesus, because all they see is the grief. All they see is the sorrow. All they see is the sad posts on Facebook. Amen. Well, let's keep going. Jesus paid too high a price for your freedom to stay bound. And it's an insult to God if you're going to stay in the prison when Jesus paid the price to get you out of prison, for you to be released from prison. Satan cannot hold you. Sin cannot hold you. Your past cannot hold you. And sorrow cannot hold you or bind you in Jesus' name. Now, let's talk about eternal redemption real quick before we partake of the communion. Hebrews 9:11-14 says, but Christ came and high priest of good things to come with greater than more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of bulls and calves, but with his own blood. He entered into the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of the bulls and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifying to the purifying of the flesh, how much more? Everybody say, how much more? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your own conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, this word cleanse is the word purge. We said purge. We said the sprinkling of blood is the highest form of worship. And the sprinkling of blood, in the Old Testament, Moses did it with the hyssop and a bowl. And he said, this is the blood of the testament that God has enjoined unto you. Now, in the New Testament, we apply the blood of Jesus Christ with the hyssop of our tongue. We declare the blood. So God's masterpiece happened in Christ. What God did for us in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the masterpiece. This is the greatest display of love, wisdom, power, and righteousness in the history of time and eternity. God did in Christ what he wanted to do for in every man. Because see, you must see what happened from the cross to the throne. God deposited all that he has in Christ, and then he put you in Christ. The Bible is the story of redemption. The Bible is a bloody book. All 66 books of the Bible contain pictures of God's plan and purpose to restore man to himself. Jesus can be found in every book of the Bible. The Bible is about Jesus, our Redeemer, and his work, and the Holy Spirit is your tour guide in your study of redemption. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 says, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ are the center of the gospel. Paul says, first of all, I delivered unto you. The Revised Standard Version says, as of first importance. The New English Bible says, first and foremost, I handed to you the facts that have been departed unto me. Weymouth's translation said this, before all else. So this is the starting point. This is the centerpiece. This is the beginning, the middle, and the end. The freedom through the payment of a price is the simple definition of redemption. Everybody say, I am redeemed. So the simple Webster's definition, it says to buy back, to repurchase, to get back, to recover, to ransom, to pay off, to liberate from captivity, to deliver, to reclaim. In 1 Timothy 2:6, it says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Faith begins by knowing redemption facts. Faith begins by knowing redemption facts. You got to walk in the light of your redemption. You got to step out in your redemption. God paid the price for you and I in Christ 2,000 years ago. The old gospel song says Jesus paid it all. Everybody say Jesus paid it all. See, Christianity doesn't begin with something you do, but with something that he has done for you in Christ. Everything Jesus did in his death and resurrection was done for you, or some translators say, in your behalf. So in other words, if everything Jesus was for you, it is set to the credit of your account, just like you did it. You could say it this way: Jesus gets the glory for everything that has been done, but you get the credit because he was acting on your behalf. Jesus gets the glory, but you get the credit. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. So neither by the blood of bulls and of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into once having attained eternal redemption for us. Goodspeed says, secured our permanent deliverance. Everybody say, I'm permanently delivered. Ladies, I know when you do a perm in your hair, some of you guys get perms in your hair. But how come 2 or 3 months later you're doing another perm? It's not permanent, but. I'm just picking on you. So, but this is permanent.
Amen.
Everybody say, this is permanent.
This is permanent.
Don't you like that? I like that. Think about it. Jesus ascended, secured our permanent deliverance. That's a powerful statement. Now, sin, sickness, sorrows, and Satan's dominion has been broken over mankind permanently because of what Jesus done. God's not having to come back and do it again.
That's good.
He's not having to come back and deal with sin again. Because that's where people say, Jesus, Jesus, come down and help me. He's already helped you. The death, burial, and resurrection has helped you with sin. Has permanently dealt with sin. Everything you did last night, everything you might do this week. That's why he says in John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Amplified says, all sin, its forms and its manifestations. Glory to God. He's dealt with sin, sickness, once and for all. It's an established fact, your redemptive right, that you are healed.
Amen.
By his stripes, you are and were healed. If you were healed, then you are healed now. Now you got to have faith to believe and faith to receive it and act upon it. Amen. And then Satan's been dealt with and your sorrow's been dealt with. See, redemption is not some temporary thing must be added to by man or replaced later by something more effective. The Amplified says a complete redemption, an everlasting release. A complete redemption covers everything. So when you say, I am redeemed, just like Big Daddy Weave, we saw that song, I am redeemed, you say, I'm redeemed from everything. That covers everything. Anything going on in your family, your finances, your future, come on now. Anything going on in your brain, your emotions, your body. An everlasting release means it lasts forever.
Yes.
It's not changing. God has left nothing out. We are redeemed spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, and financially. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All that man needs is supplied in Christ. The past, present, and future have been taken care of. The spirit, soul, and body has been taken care of, all because of what Jesus has done. Now, that's what he told us. When you eat that bread and drink that cup, you remember me.
Amen.
Do it in remembrance of me. He is your redeemer, and you are the redeemed. So redemption is an accomplished fact. He's not trying to get you to come up with facts. He just says, accurately record it, the facts, by acknowledging what he's done. I am redeemed. You might be limping on one leg and hardly can stand up on your feet, and your back may be hurting you so bad you feel like, man, I don't know if I can be in any more pain. I am redeemed.
Amen.
You have to resist sickness just like you have to resist sin, just like you have to resist Satan. All man needs is supplied in Christ. So your redemption was legally purchased through the blood of Jesus Christ. His death and resurrection have established a new universal fact for every man. He purchased your freedom. No amount of money could buy or release you and I from Satan, sin, sickness, or sorrow or the past. Only the blood of Jesus was legal payment for your freedom. So the prison door is open. You simply walk out of it and see, and when you see what God in Christ has done for you. So this is a legal release. So it's not like somebody giving you, using the prison escape concept, somebody giving you a little file or a little butter knife and you cutting and sawing on that prison door night after night, making sure nobody catches you. Then after a while, you cut a couple bars off. And then maybe you can escape a little hole, and then you got to run, and they're coming after you with the dogs, and you're going through the swamp, and you heard some prisoner escape stories. I'm familiar with a couple of them. And so the guys run through the swamps and the dogs, and you're running, and then they capture you, and they take you back to prison because you escaped from prison. This is not a prison escape. Because some people try, and that's religious tradition and work. I try to be healed. I'm trying to be free. I'm trying to be joyful and happy and full of joy. Just be. The door's open. Walk out of it. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no dogs. There's no swamp. There's no prison clothes. There's no little files or butter knives. Jesus has paid it all. Praise God. Now let's make it legal. There are two ordinances in the church that we demonstrate our identification with Christ. Water baptism and communion. Everybody say water baptism.
Water baptism.
And communion. So we know water baptism represents being buried with Christ and risen with him to walk out in the newness of life. We often say it's the inward grace and the outward sign. The outward sign is the water baptism of the inward grace of your heart, the circumcision of your heart. And the Apostle Paul refers to communion as the cup of blessing, 1 Corinthians 10:16. In fact, communion is what we call sometimes the Lord's Supper, shows or proclaims our union with Christ in his body and in his blood. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, it says, "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Now let's look at the word proclaim or show in the King James. It is the Greek word katagogelo. I might have mispronounced it. Forgive me for that. But it just means proclaim or to promulgate or to declare or preach. Promulgate just means to put a law or decree into effect by official proclamation. The same words were used in Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphant over them in it, in the cross, in his resurrection. That means Jesus had a parade down in the spirit and showed and declared to everybody that I've got the keys of death and hell and the grave. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? He said, Satan has no more power. He is a defeated foe. He's been stripped. He's been completely disarmed of his power to control you and dominate you. And so he proclaimed it throughout all heaven, earth, and under the earth. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's your redeemer. So Jesus publicly proclaimed his complete defeat of Satan's kingdom and our complete victory in his resurrection.
Amen.
Now, if we're going to live like him, it is time we start declaring some things too. So it's time to promulgate. We must, by faith in his finished redemptive work, confess, announce, acknowledge both privately and publicly, and boldly declare and our redemption to activate and appropriate its amazing benefits in our lives. Everybody say, I have to activate and appropriate the benefits of my redemption through my confession, announcement, and acknowledgement, both privately And publicly. So when the devil comes up to you and says, look at all this stuff going on in your house. Look at all this stuff going on in your money. You say, I plead the blood.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood.
Yeah.
I plead the blood of Jesus. When he tries to, in your body, and you say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood.
Yeah.
Kenneth E. Hagin used to say it this way. He said, I feel good, I feel fine, now body, get in line. Come on, y'all, say it with me. I feel good.
I feel good.
I feel fine.
I feel fine.
Now, body, get in line.
Now, body, get in
take
line.
Authority over your body. Take authority.
Yeah.
The blood of Jesus has purchased your body.
Yes.
That's why you got to have heaven's health care. I know the other kind of health care is not perfect. And there's a lot of criticism about that health care. But heaven's health care has everything available. Got new arms if you need a new arm. Got a new back if you need a new back. Come on, got new shoulders if you need a new shoulder. New lungs, new livers, new kidneys, new pancreas, new everything. Because you've been redeemed. So stand up with me and say this right now. Y'all get something out of this today?
Yes.
Now we're going to take communion. We're going to let the Lord just release some of you from this sorrow. Don't hug it like a friend. Let it go. You're supposed to be a happy, happy Christian. Now, I'm saying that, but I mean joyful and glad. That's what I mean. You guys can relate to that when I say happy. Praise God. Walk around mean, mad, sad, mean mugging folks. Running, your mood's running like a roller coaster. Let the devil stop playing with your emotions. Tell him, get out of there. Holy, hallelujah. So everybody say this with me. Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ
is Lord of all.
Is Lord of all.
Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ
is my Lord,
is my, Lord
Savior,
my Savior,
my Redeemer.
My Redeemer.
I have been crucified,
crucified
with Christ.
With Christ.
I no longer live.
But Christ lives in me.
I live by the faith of the Son of God.
I am dead to sin.
The old person has died.
And
sin has no dominion over me.
I am enjoying
a new existence, which is Jesus using my body.
I am a new creation.
The old one is gone.
I'm living a fresh
new life.
God is on my side,
for the blood has been applied.
Every need shall be supplied.
Nothing be denied.
So I enter into rest,
knowing I'm blessed.
I'll pass every test.
I'll receive God's very best.
The blood of Jesus
is sanctifying me
and my family
to the perfect will of God
every day.
And in every way,
spirit,
soul,
body,
family,
finances,
emotions,
mentality,
relationships,
in the name of Jesus,
all to the glory of God.
There is nothing in me
that the blood can't cleanse.
There is nothing in me
that the blood can't cure.
There is nothing in me
that the blood can't correct.
The blood can't correct.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
The word of God.
The word of God.
And the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit.
Is perfecting that.
Is perfecting
which
that.
Concerns me.
Which concerns me.
I declare.
I decree.
I am redeemed from sin.
I am redeemed from sin.
From sickness.
From sin,
from Satan.
From Satan.
And from sorrow.
And from sorrow.
In Jesus'
in
name.
Jesus' name.
I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
From poverty.
And lack.
I'm redeemed
from sickness and disease.
I am redeemed
from failure
and fear
in Jesus'
name
and
by his precious blood.
Jesus has purchased my freedom from fear
and failure.
I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
Come on, lift your hands and thank God. You can sit down.
Gentlemen, come forward with the